Today's audio cast for Monday, August 8th, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. Where have all the pilots gone? As AvWeb reported last week, general aviation shipments are coming off a record high half year, but that surge apparently isn't being fueled by new pilots. The Washington Post was at EAA AirVenture this year, and while it may not be a revelation to AvWeb readers, the Post informed its audience of the next crisis facing aviation. Most pilots are old white guys. The Post reporter solicited opinions from an assortment of 50-something pilots on why the place wasn't teeming with eager, fresh faces, and not surprisingly perhaps, got answers that sounded suspiciously like something their parents and grandparents might have said to them about 30 or 40 years ago. One 57-year-old pilot told the Post the younger generations are all about instant gratification. Gilbert blamed video games, and others chimed in that flying lacks the adventure and intrigue that once shrouded it in an air of romance. But what did the young people have to say? Those who responded to the article's discussion forum claiming to be younger pilots suggest that supply and demand will ultimately, if not soon, correct any recent or unfortunate shifts facing today's pilots when it comes to quality of life, job security, and pay. Opinions aside, today fewer than half the number of student pilots are bumping their way through training when compared to recent boom times, and the old guard is mobilizing to increase those ranks. One initiative is among the most ambitious recycling projects we've come across. An organized program called Build-A-Plane takes donations of unfinished kit airplanes and non-airworthy certified aircraft and distributes them to high schools and youth organizations that want to take them on as projects. Local experts are enlisted to help the kids do the work necessary to make the project fly. There are dozens of projects underway, ranging from a BD-5 to a twin Comanche. Another group, Wings of Charity, allows dedicated participants to get their private pilot certificate for a vastly reduced price. Although the tragic events of 9/11 put a damper on the whole aviation industry, it has rebounded, and the hiring of pilots in all sectors, quite opposite of new pilot starts, is coming back to the historic highs of the turn of the century, according to AOPA's Be a Pilot program. The current boom is fueled in part by the rapid expansion of airline service in China, India, and the Middle East, and the worldwide growth of cargo operations. The jury is still out on the impact very light jets will have on the air travel business, but if even half of the projected growth materializes, it could create thousands of pilot jobs. For all the volatility, life as an airline pilot in the United States continues to be full of some unwelcome ups and downs and seemingly odd disparities. Layoffs aside, one of the largest negative elements airline crews have lately had to face has been the dissolution or reconstruction of pension plans. Now, Texas politicians say a pension reform bill passed by the Senate and House last week puts two Texas-based airlines at a competitive disadvantage. The bill, in general, requires companies with underfunded pension plans 7 years to get caught up with their payments. However, companies that have frozen their pension plans get an additional 10 years to bring them up to date, and they can do so at preferential interest rates. Bankrupt Northwest and Delta Airlines qualify for the extension. Texas-based American and Continental do not, and that's got the Texas delegation in both houses reaching for their legislative guns as disparity spreads. Sitting on the happy side of that coin, Delta Airlines says the pension package is what it needs to keep the fund alive. Delta will be in a position to preserve its pension plan covering 91,000 active and retired ground and flight attendant employees, thereby preserving their hard-earned benefits and preventing the U.S. pension system from being burdened with additional plan liabilities, Gerald Grinstein, Delta's chief executive, said in a statement. Both Delta and Northwest froze their plans as part of their bankruptcy rescue operation, but neither American nor Continental is in that position. From keeping airlines flying to keeping old airplanes flying, money matters. And in an altogether different battle, the Commemorative Air Force is fighting to keep one of its national treasures alive. The B-29, known as Fifi, has been grounded indefinitely, and it'll take $3 million to get her back into the air. The aircraft has had chronic engine problems for years, and the group has decided that for safety's sake, those issues must now be well resolved. Fifi is the only airworthy B-29 in the world. As the group's Kate Kreitz told AvWeb in our August 4th audio news, the original equipment engines were maintenance hogs when they were new, and they haven't gotten any better in 60 years of service. The Commemorative Air Force has decided to replace the engines with custom-built variants of the Wright Cyclone 18-cylinder radials, and it's launched a fundraising effort to do the work. For more details, or if you would like to get involved, see AFWEB's online coverage at AFWEB.com for more. As Cessna considers its own new construction project, a proposed light sport aircraft, all options remain on the table. And it seems that company officials are looking at new options to keep costs down. The company has shown interest in construction methods used by some kitplane airplane companies that simplify assembly through computerized machine hole drilling. The process involves pre-drilling sheet metal pieces so that rivet holes line up perfectly when it comes time to fit parts together. Successful companies like Vans Aircraft, which estimates its home-built flying fleet at more than 4,500 aircraft, have had good success with the system, which saves the builder time and improves the fit of the components. If incorporated into a Cessna Light Sport product, the process might help keep the consumer's cost below Cessna's target of $100,000. A similar solution that both saves money and enhances the product was not agreed to when it came to the FAA and the National Air Traffic Controllers Union. Arkansas Democratic Senator Mark Pryor has now introduced a bill that would force the FAA to resume negotiations with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association toward a new contract. The FAA imposed its working conditions on the union in June under the terms of legislation that would have required congressional intervention to resolve the dispute. Under that law, Congress has 60 days to act after the agency declares talks at impasse. The impasse was declared April 5th, and a last-ditch attempt by House members to halt the process failed. However, the union thinks Pryor's bill has a good chance and, according to the union, is finding support on both sides of the political aisle. The last battle in a war already lost has been fought by hot air balloon manufacturer Aerostar. To the ballooning community, the Sioux Falls, South Dakota company is kind of like Cessna, Piper, and Beechcraft all rolled into one. And the company just announced last week that after January 31st, 2007, it won't be in the hot air balloon business anymore. Aerostar, which started as Raven Industries back in the 1960s, virtually invented the system that gave birth to the modern sport of hot air ballooning. Company President Mark West said the economic downturn following 9/11 was one from which the company could not recover. With significant increases in liability insurance, West says costs have made for a business model that is no longer feasible. In other news, the joyride is over for a young man who, according to his sentencing judge, loaded two young friends aboard a Cessna 172 in Danbury, Connecticut, and flew it for 3 hours before landing, almost out of fuel and drunk, at Westchester, New York. Will have another year in jail to think about that night. He'll also have 6 months of enforced rehab to sort out the alcohol problem that he's now admitted to having. A Connecticut judge imposed the sentence last week after Felipe Patricio, now 21, pleaded guilty to a string of charges relating to the incident on June 22, 2005. He had already been in jail for 9 months on charges laid by New York authorities. And finally, our story in Thursday's news about the fatal taxiway accident in Oshkosh on July 30th inadvertently gave the impression that EAA hasn't reviewed its safety procedures following the accident. EAA is awaiting the results of the NTSB's investigation of the accident before considering any changes in safety procedures. EAA President Tom Poberesny told AFWEB on Thursday that it constantly revisits safety whether there are accidents or not. Safety is our number one priority, he said, adding that EAA addresses it year after year. Meetings are held year-round to establish safety procedures, and every suggestion and comment is looked at and taken very seriously, said Poberesny. Well, that's it for today. You'll find all these stories and a whole lot more online now at avweb.com. Comments on our podcast are always welcome. Just email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report was made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AFWEB's next AudioCast on Friday, August 11th. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.